Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, Liverpool's a city that's known for its music, and we've just got off the train at Lime Street Station and there's somebody playing the trumpet in the background, which is absolutely perfect. But we've come here to meet somebody who's part of current Liverpool music, somebody who's been at number one in the official folk albums chart and in the top 10, certainly for the last year. And Jamie Webster is a huge figure in Liverpool. It started with his association with Liverpool Football Club, but now he's become a musical phenomenon who writes songs about the lives of the ordinary working people of this city. So who better to give us an insight into life in contemporary Liverpool? Morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Matt.
Lovely to see you. Where have you brought us?
So today I've brought you to the Florence Institute, or commonly known in Liverpool as the Florry. And it's a community centre that's, it's been within the heart of the Dingle and Toxteth area for a long, long time now. And yeah, there's some great stories about even the Beatles being associated with this place and just the old working class folk of Liverpool, if you like. And yeah, it still does unbelievable work in the community, and I'm going to show you what that is and tell you a little bit about it.
There's some great painting
yeah,
on the walls here,
local
isn't there?
Artists.
Some murals all around the walls, of some scenes of Liverpool.
Ricky Tomlinson, is obviously, everyone knows him, Jim Royal. He's got a massive affiliation with the place as well. He was at a fundraiser here that I played in the summertime.
There's paintings of him on the wall here.
Yeah, just here.
On easels. Why is it important to you, this place?
Well, it's important to me because basically since friends of mine started working here and, started doing fundraisers and stuff here, I came down here a couple of times just to support my friends in what they were doing. And I got a tour of the place by Timo, who I'm sure we'll meet today. And he took me round the lower floors and took me round sort of the food bank that they've got here. It just nearly touched my heart when I realised that so many people were dependent on this place just to eat. Every day, it made me realise how important places like this are and how much they need to be supported and how much they need to be talked about. I've played gigs here, I've done radio shows here, all for charity and fundraisers, and I've just got really nice memories of the place. When you come in here, you'll meet the volunteers yourself, you meet the people who work here. They're just lovely people, and their day-to-day life is just looking after people, really, you know what I mean, and making sure that they can have things that we take for granted.
place is where I'm from. Familiar faces and the accents like a song. Cause I've been traveling places that I don't belong. Spending days with being a stranger. Time's lost when you're out of range without the bustle and bustle. And it all seems quite the range. But when I think about the beds in George's Hall, when he tried to knock us down and we stood up tall, the city will forever be me saving grace. So no matter where I am, I'll raise a glass to this plane.
There's all sorts of stuff from table tennis to, you know, guitar classes to, you know, just even art classes.
This walk in?
Yeah, this van here, just this was donated to the Florida by Liverpool Football Club, and obviously you can see Nivea men, and they drop food off to people
so
in the area.
So that takes the food round to people who need it?
Takes the food round, yeah. So like I say, it's just a really, it's just such an important place for the south of Liverpool and for people that are living below the breadline.
This place is grass and screams, but there's plenty of people building hopes and dreams. Here's to the ones working behind the scenes. Gives me a smile, gives me a shiver.
Showed in this lovely place. So this is the cafe.
We're in the cafe now.
Yeah, we're, just, you know.
Good morning.
Hello.
Affordable food.
Oh,
and
look, hang on, look at this. We've got sausage on toast, bacon on toast, doorstop toast. What's this signed guitar up here, Jamie? Do you know?
Yeah, so I think just people who've come in to do the radio show. There's a radio show on a Friday, actually, called Cup of Tea with Lee. And everyone signs it. Mine should be somewhere on it, but I've signed about five guitars in this place, to be fair. I auctioned one the other week.
And what's going on in that picture up
that's
there?
That's the guitar class. So right in the middle is Timo. I look up to him like a big brother, really. Do you know what I mean? He's given me a lot of advice because he's been and done a lot of things in the music industry himself. And these are some of the people who, you know, some of the attendees who come to the class.
Now we're moving into a big corridor here.
Yeah, this is
brick-lined corridor with pictures all the way down. This reminds me of being at school, actually. It's
yeah,
a bit like
yeah,
that,
bit
one
like
of those
school
schools,
hall, isn't it? So obviously the gym is here. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll just
get off one of the ukes in.
Yeah.
There's a drum kit and loads of guitars.
Yeah.
On the side there.
I'll embarrass you with me. I'll embarrass myself with me drumming in a minute. It's not very good.
And there's a fantastic mural on the wall again, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, God Save the Florry in the old Sex Pistols lettering.
Yeah, which was...
And John Wayne in the middle there.
Yeah, and as you see, my arse.
City thing, of Culture, my arse.
Yeah, which is obviously
Ricky Tomlinson,
off the Royal Family. Yeah. And this Oye, that's the Africa Oye Festival.
Well, it's got Jamie Reid mentioned, the artist Jamie Reid mentioned there, and a lot of the lettering is like the lettering that he did for the Sex Pistols albums, I think.
Yeah.
Tim, hello, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, mate. Matthew. Matthew, nice to meet you.
This is Lawrence.
Hello.
Hey, Lawrence. So, Lawrence is the boss here.
The Florry is a community building first and foremost. So, generally, we've got lots of community hub classes going on throughout the week. All completely run by volunteers, so everything's completely free of charge as well, because obviously it's people who, the community of the Dingle, they do struggle a little bit, and this is why the building's always been here 132 years.
We were just talking about the wall here, the pictures.
Jamie
Reid?
By the
Sex Pistols artist?
Sex Pistols man.
Well, I'm saying, earlier on I was saying, like, well, all the letters are all cut out of newspapers, a bit like Jamie Reid.
That is entirely
by Jamie Reid.
Has an office here.
So he did the cover of Nevermind the Bollocks.
That's right.
Yeah.
And all of, well, a lot of the artwork, you know, for the Pistols.
We're going to ask Jamie to sing a song for us, though. Do you mind if he sings a song?
I'll be all right in here, won't I?
Of course.
I've got my little classical guitar in front of the car.
Excellent.
I used that on the album anyway. £12 guitar from Cambodia. It's amazing.
It sounds good.
There you go.
That's a very battered instrument, Jamie.
Yeah. It's actually.
Tell us about it.
Brand new. When you got it?
Where did you get it from?
It's not mine.
It's got Paul in fluorescent pink on the back of it.
Yeah, Paul Malloy from the Coral.
Right.
The guitarist from the Coral. It's actually his girlfriend's guitar, who's my manager's sister. But basically, I wrote a song. It's the song I'm going to play. I wrote a song, and when I wrote it, I'd written on the acoustic guitar, and it just didn't sound right. It sounded like, it almost sounded like a rip-off of Faces, ooh la la, a little bit like that. And I thought, I need to really think about this. So I got this guitar was in the, you know, the demo studio, and I just started sort of like strumming like that, and I thought, oh, that's a nice way to approach the song, and I sort of stripped it back, and we just recorded this, just put a few mics on this, and we put the cap on, and it almost sounds a little bit like a ukulele, funny enough. And
it's like a kid's guitar,
yeah,
isn't it?
But it's just, I do most of my writing on this guitar now. I sort of, like, I took it to Rockfield Studios to record the album with it, and then when I come back to ours, I sort of forgot about it for a couple of months, and no one asked for it back. So I told my manager when they want it back, it's ready to be handed over. But
Tommy's from the city, he lives in a North End terraced house. Me and the council estate, he makes windows and doors. And though his friends are means to end, so how he often thinks of getting out, like his mother did near 18 years before. Got a vision of going on a mission to the USA. He wants to sing and dance and act on those Broadway shows. If he should speak a word, the verdict save it for another day. For a North End kid like him, that's how it goes. He goes upstairs and takes his medicine, goes to heaven in his head and shuts his eyes. When he sees the sunshine on his face, sees the weather's a completely different place. When he can find himself a lover and have a kitchen with space, where there's music in the streets, the crowds are throwing roses at his feet. And then he pulls away the covers and readies for another couple days in the real world, struggling to make ends meet. And Tommy's dad's a Marine, so today to dreams rather hard sometimes. And the anger builds from those lethal blows he took. If he's to go out at night, he'll get caught in a fight in a bar sometimes. Another North End kid, another shit out of luck. Then he goes home and takes that medicine, goes to heaven in his head and shuts his eyes. When he sees the sunshine on his face, sees the world is a completely different place. Where he can find himself a lover and have a kitchen with space. Where there's music in the streets, the crowds are throwing roses at his feet. And then he pulls away the covers and readies for another couple days in the real world, struggling to make ends meet. Kitchen with space, where there's music in the streets, the crowds are throwing roses at his feet. And then he pulls away the covers and readies for another couple days in the real world, struggling to make ends meet.
There we go. That's North End Kid.
That was fantastic, Jamie. And I think it's sort of, it's interesting that you chose that song because it seems to me that it says a couple of things about what you do with songs, which is storytelling. It's a big sort of storytelling and about the lives of real people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you think of, you put the world, and I don't like segregating anyone into classes, but when you put the world into classes, working class people, there's so many of us, do you know what I mean? And yet we all feel so alone. When I write songs, I just think, why not amplify the voice of the voiceless? Give myself a voice, give you a voice, give all the people that I'm trying to represent a voice. And, you know, we all know people like that. We've all been to a pub before, haven't we? And you see that fella holding court amongst 10, 15 people. Everyone's on the edge of the seat, hanging off every word he says. You know, and he's only telling a story about buying a pint of milk in the shop. But yeah, he should be on a telly, he should be on a screen, he should be on a stage, you know what I mean? But his environment and his surroundings have never permitted him to go and do that or to even find out how he would go about doing that. We all know these people.
And you're one of them,
well,
surely.
Yeah, I am, but I've been...
You started out as an electrician, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but I've been fortunate enough to break the mould. You know, I don't have to go to my bedroom and smoke a little something or take a little something to make me escape my life, you know. I'm fortunate enough now to be living my dream where, you know, I am singing to people for a living. I'm writing and recording songs, and that's because, you know, I didn't let it break me or defeat me. I let it define me, and I used that environment. And thankfully, I had the support of my parents, do you know what I mean, and my friends, unlike Tommy in North End Kids.
So your mum and dad, when you started to say, I want to play music, what did they say?
Oh, look, my mum and dad, like, I'm not going to be one of these people who'll stand here and, you know, cry poverty or try and use poverty. You know, my dad ran his own little building firm. My mum worked for the Gyro Bank. And they worked really, really hard. Really, really, really hard. Harder than anyone I've ever known in my life to give me, my brother and sister, whatever we wanted, really, to give us the opportunities that they never had. You know, I was able to learn an instrument. I was able to be myself. I was able to express myself and play.
When you left school, you were 16, weren't you? And did you go and work for your dad?
I worked for my dad, yeah.
As an electrician, did you train as an electrician? Did
you
get all the qualifications?
Fully qualified electrician, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like, you know, I'm probably a better singer than I am an electrician, to be fair. And that doesn't say too much, does it? But
was your dad a hard boss?
Yeah, he was. I think, you know, my dad's from that last generation, really, where, you know, almost a, you know, the strong silent type generation, do you know what I mean? Where you didn't talk about your feelings, you didn't talk about, you know, you just left school and you went to work and you got a job and you worked hard and you put food on the table for your family, sort of thing. And my dad's very much, like, don't be wrong, I've been, you know, fortunate enough to, like, you know, my dad's always, like I said, he's always given me everything I wanted. But working with him, there was some sad times there.
Well, he'd give you a hard time if you weren't up to scratch.
Yeah, but I think, you know, obviously because it was his sort of small family business that he built from the ground up. I don't think he wanted his son sort of taking advantage or taking the mick, you know, while he had hard working lads working hard for him. So, you know, part of it was my fault as well, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I was a young lad who just had an enthusiasm for going out and, you know, going to football matches and going to gigs and, you know, being in a rehearsal room with my band, smoking and drinking and doing stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. So, obviously, as someone who's got a business to run, I'm not the ideal employee, am I? You know what I mean? So,
well, you work hard now, don't you?
I do.
I mean, you've been doing an enormous number of gigs recently, haven't you?
Yeah, we've just done 8 gigs in 7 days, and not even that. I mean, I'm on an independent label, so I have a lot more of a say in what goes on in my career than maybe artists on a major label, should we say. And I like to be hands-on. I like to see the numbers every week. I like to see what's going on. I like to plan what's going on. You know, I do live and breathe this now. A lesson that my mum and dad always taught me was, no one's going to give you nothing in this world. You've got to go and get it yourself. You know, you get out of life what you put into it. And that's true for people like myself who've got opportunity. But there's a lot of people, obviously, like people who come to the Florrie, who can't go out and get it themselves. Well, you know, I'll always follow the footsteps of my dad in terms of, you know, yeah, no one will give you anything, and I've got to go and earn it myself, and I've got to work hard. But I'll also speak for the other side of it as well, and, you know, and always try and raise awareness for that, you know, to say people don't have 2 pennies to rub together, but also there's people who we can do a lot for who really don't have anything. We can change their lives by giving them things, do you know what I mean? And our governments and councils can certainly do more to support these people.
And that's what's going on here.
That's exactly
the community supporting
around, yeah.
Itself. It shall we go and have a wander around? Yeah, let's move on.
I'm sitting by people, my heart.
So where are we going now, Jamie?
We're going up to the tower.
So this building's got a big tower on top?
Yeah, it's so just through this, the room where the Beatles were booked to play, weren't they, Tim, once?
In the main hall, that was.
The main hall, yeah.
They couldn't afford them, people paid the 2 shilling for them.
Really?
Yeah. you know, this building survived, you know, a couple of wars. And the tower has always had its copper top on it, but it was taken off to stop it being such a landmark for German bombers. There's nothing in front of you, which is pre-World War second. But the flory survived, and then in the renovation for 2012, they put the tower back on the turret.
My city, my people, my heart. My city, my people, my heart.
I don't suppose they let everybody come up here.
No, no.
Watch yourself on the right.
So the big spiral staircase with windows on three of the sides. But I bet there's an amazing... Oh, there is an amazing view from up here.
What can you see out here, Tim?
We can see Malvama. We can see the Scouser Riviera. You know, when you're a young person... Well, any families in Liverpool, we go to North Wales. Go to Llandudno, no Llangollen, Malvama. Like, it's dead funny because Malvama's like a molehill compared to like Snowdonia and stuff, but
it's you see, hill, isn't it?
It's an hill. And loads of people from Liverpool going, oh, I've just climbed Malvama there. It's like, but yeah.
Is this the Mersey we're seeing here?
The River Mersey, yeah.
Yeah. And then, is that the ferry across the Mersey? I can see just across there.
Oh, it is, yeah, it's the ferry, yeah.
Yeah. We saw the ferry across the Mersey.
And then Camelid is that
the
big.
Shipyard.
Yeah, that's that big. Square thing,
yeah.
And you see the navy boat next to it, which is probably getting some repairs done and stuff.
Now, Jamie, you were telling me a story about people looking out from here.
Yeah, well, this is a story that Tim told me when I actually first come up here. I always remember it's one of the best, one of the most interesting stories I've heard about, like, you know, working class life in years gone by in Liverpool. And it's obviously you can see you've got a great view of the Mersey here, and you can see plenty of ships. You can see plenty of little boats and ships out there. And back in the day, when people used to turn up at the docks to unload the ships for the day's work, the lads from the Dingle would sort of have a bit of priority because they'd send a lookout up here really early in the morning, and the ships were sort of colour coordinated. So if the ship was yellow, at, you know, on the base of it, it'd be going to the yellow dock, and so. That's exactly what had happened. The lookouts up here had shout down to the mates, blue ship coming in, go to the blue dock or go to the yellow dock. And the lads from the Dingle would get the first bit of work, you know what I mean?
And the work was handed out on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Just when it was needed.
Yeah, just on the day. Whenever the ships would come in, do you know what I mean? There'd be lads waiting here to tell the mates where to go and get the day's work from. And I'm sure they'd have got a little dropsy off that, you know what I mean, for being the lookout and stuff like that. Probably the easiest job, wasn't it, Tim, being the lookout? Because you wouldn't have to unload the ships. You just sit up here and tell them where to go.
So the stories get handed on, presumably.
Yeah, you know, and then it's folk, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's folk, isn't it? Yeah. It is folk, really. In that sense of the story of a place lives with the people, and that they hand it on from person
that's
to person.
That's exactly why I wanted to bring you here, and why I wanted just to talk to Tim, because I just think it's brilliant to have a place that looks after the community. And in turn, the community looks after the place.
And it's amazing for me, I haven't been to Liverpool for some years now, and what I associate Liverpool with is a sense of community, and you brought me to somewhere that absolutely embodies that sense of community, and the warmth of the welcome that you get here, and the quality of the people is powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like no other. It's just the people here are the salt of the earth. They're the real people of the city of Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? The people who work here, the people who come here for classes and everything.
My city, my people, my heart.
Like this country, in the last 2 years, would not have survived without volunteers. Volunteers were the ones and the people who were dragging us through that pandemic, going around giving people the tests, going to people's houses, taking food, going and giving them the vaccinations, doing whatever. And we still just think that volunteers go and sweep floors and clean cups. They don't. They drag this country and this city and all the people around it. Without volunteers, we'd be frigged. I'll leave you to it.
Tim, thank you very much. It's a big speech, but it's a powerful speech.
Don't worry, you see, I'm going to go with that Boris fellow one day, mate.
Yeah,
I'll
have
him down, not what he wants.
So, Jamie, will you sing us a song up here?
I will sing us a song up. I will sing us a song up here. I think, but he's talking on, you know, people helping each other through times, you know, based on what we just talked about. I think We Get By, the song We Get By from the first album, We Get By, is perfect, really. Yeah. Inspired by magic beans, and all the squares are filled with despair. But all the little dancing feet don't seem to care. To the ones who go straight to the boozer as soon as they awake, because the boss's son's a knobhead and he's driving all of the lads berserk. 3 ton for a week's graft. Sometimes I get it cash in hand, boss is leasing a Bentley. Still probably cost him $100,000. $100,000. You might say to me, there's more to life than this. But we've not got a pound. I had to barely above ground to make ends meet. We try and then spend what's left on booze and getting high. Still we get by. Tons of people queuing for the gyro check. Late days beyond Walton Breck. Bills come out of midnight and you're left with a score. Just like last week and all those times before. Though we still have our moments, those bits of happiness, even though the boiler's broken and the stairs and landing are a mess, won't ever be beaten. Cause we've got them and they've got us, so roll on in your Bentley. Cause for now I think I'm happy on the bus. You might say to me, there's more to life than this. But we've not got a pound, our heads are barely above ground. To make ends meet we try, and then spend what's left on booze and getting high. Still we get by yesterday. For you I'm running far away. Today's the day that I got paid, and the one where all my dreams are made. To make ends meet I'll try, and then spend what's left on booze and getting high.
Get by.
Wonderful stained glass window here, look. The Florence Institute 2012. Football, dance, badminton, martial arts, bowls,
table tennis,
theatre. All in stained glass.
Yeah, obviously all things that have come and gone in the Florida. Just keeps going, doesn't it?
Well, now we're in a radio studio. Amazing, with microphones, mixing desk.
It's quite Everton.
Flory Radio.
Yeah.
So this is like a community radio service.
Yeah, community radio station. We've been going about a year.
Introduce yourself.
Your name?
Introduce yourself.
Ian Broadhurst.
Hello, Ian.
So I run the radio station.
You run the radio?
Yeah.
He's also a full-time volunteer here as well.
And what kind of programmes do you put out?
So it's all local stuff, so it's all basically anyone in the area can come down and say, I want to do a show about dot, dot, dot.
So you've got all the old personality photos from Radio Merseyside up on the wall.
Alan Kennedy's football phoning, God, he looks a lot different now, Alan.
So these are going back a few years, these pictures, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Alan's a silver fox now. That's obviously, Alan won a European Cup for Liverpool, didn't he? big hero with my dad, Alan Kennedy. Dave Monks is a good supporter of my music as well. He's someone still in the mix in Radio Merseyside, so it's not that old. Yeah.
It's a rogues gallery, isn't it?
Yeah. You'll have Ian and Lee's face on there soon, along with me.
Yeah. I was going to ask, would you sing this place at all?
I'll do this place here, actually, yeah. That'll be good. Okay, so seeing as I've spoke a lot about the Flory, about this place and what it does for the community and what it does for the city, I think the fitting song to play right now would be This Place, which basically in this song sums up everything I've spoke about in the Flory. So here it is. Familiar faces and the accents like a song. Cause I've been traveling places that I don't belong. Spending days with being a stranger. Time's lost when you're out of range without the bustle. And it all seems quite the rain. But when I think about the beds in George's Hall, when he tried to knock us down and we stood up tall. The city will forever be me saving grace. So no matter where I am, I'll raise a glass to this place. So raise your glass to this place. This place is glass and screams, but there's plenty of people building hopes and dreams. So here's to the ones working behind the scenes. Gives me a smile, gives me a shiver. When I think of being stood on a river, everyone's on a team. But this place, she's a giver. So if you're feeling sick and tired of the games you play, have a look at where you are, it's another day. At least you're not a divvy in a bib and place. You're ahead of the pace, and you owe it all to this place. So raise your glass to this place. Owe it all to this place, it's all I know. It's raining in the summer and there's February snow. The night goes on forever, there's loads of gaps to go. You ask me how I'm feeling, I'll tell you tomorrow. My city, my people, my heart. 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 My city, I owe it all to this place. Thank you. I was holding the sneezing for a long time.
Oh, God, well.
Can you sing and sneeze at the same time? Bless you.
Sorry about that. the back end of the cold there, still with me. A little bit nasal, that one, but it was all right, wasn't it?
That sounded great to me. That sounded fantastic. Oh, but it's such an inspiring song, that, and it's such a emotional tribute to the city. But I suppose it just sums up, as you say, everything that you feel about this city.
Yeah. I actually wrote the song when I was spent the first sort of... the first time I ever come out of the city and out of the country to play music. And I was travelling around a few places. I was actually in America when I first finished writing it, and I was just missed home. I was having an unbelievable time out in America. But
that's with the Liverpool FC,
yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. Liverpool FC. But I thought to myself, it's still not home. It's not where I feel safest. It's not where I feel most comfortable. And I just started thinking about what makes, you know, for me, Liverpool so special. And, you know, thankfully, so many people since its release have resonated with it. And it's always like a big favourite in the live shows.
I can just imagine everybody singing along with that.
particularly the end bit, the My City, My People, My Heart. It's just it's almost like an army going into battle. That's the best way I can describe it. That's what it feels like, do you know what I mean? Especially when you're playing a hometown show and you're playing that song. And obviously I've got, we couldn't quite see it from the tower, but I've got my biggest hometown show to date at the M&S Bank Arena in November. And
has that like been a destination for you? Have you been looking at the arena and thinking, oh, one day I'd like
to
play
there? Since I went to the first concert there with my mum, I've always thought, wow, how incredible would it be to be on that stage one day, do you know what I mean? I never thought it ever happened, you know. Obviously, you've got a lot of hurdles to sort of jump before you get to that point, but, you know, the way it started to grow, it was an unbelievable feeling. But
you played some pretty big stages. I mean, you played at the Champions League final, didn't you?
Yeah, I'd done a 60,000 outdoor gig in Madrid, which was...
Because we should just tell the story of how it all started, because, you know, a lot of your fame, as it were, started from the football chants,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you were doing Ale, Ale, Ale.
Yeah.
And the videos started to go viral. So you were singing in front of the Liverpool fans.
Yeah, I was in bands when I was about 15, 16. We were terrible. So we decided to play acoustic covers in pubs, you know, just because I love playing music and it was a good way for me to earn a little bit of extra money. And at the same time, I was following Liverpool Football Club home, away and across Europe. That was what I was spending all my wages on. So a few of the lads who I met, you know, I'm quite a chatty person, as you can tell, and I made a lot of mates quite quickly. So they started coming down to see me play on a Friday night and stuff like that. And then they said, well, why don't you, there's an event that's called Boss Night, which is, you know, for Liverpool fans.
Named after a fanzine, isn't it?
After a fanzine, yeah. Good research.
Yeah.
named after a fanzine. And, you know, it was just a hub, basically, for fans to go and listen to music and, you know, just extend part of the match day, really, you know what I mean, into the night in the city centre. Because there wasn't a lot of places for us to do that all together. And because a few of my mates knew a few of the lads who put this on, you know, get this lad on, he goes to all the games, he's really good. Turned up, the foot of the bill, playing about 6 or 7 songs, and that developed into Liverpool becoming more successful and people, obviously my friends coming down to support me, and those covers were turning into, like, a Liverpool's player's name was getting thrown in the hat, and it developed and developed, and the song Ale, Ale, Ale was what made me, if you like, into... You know, it gave me global recognition and sort of European recognition.
Well, it was just extraordinary because I looked at the video of it and to see all those fans packed into the venue there, singing along with you and dancing along with you, it must just have been the most extraordinary feeling.
It was crazy. I went from, like, you know, people just, you know, having, like, when I was in my band, we played gigs with nobody came to. Like, you know, we played to an empty audience and, like, in the space of a couple of years, you know, people were screaming every word of every song that I was singing back to me and falling out of windows and all sorts. It was just chaos. It was like barbaric at some time, you know, at some stages.
So when did the club first take notice of you? When, you know, what was it that broke that barrier down?
It was LA, 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 really, sort of. Oh, actually, no, it was a bit pre that. There was maybe about 2015, 16, I was asked to provide soundtracks to a documentary that Liverpool FC TV were making, and that was basically the origins and the history of the fan chants and where they came from. And a lot of them are places like this, do you know what I mean? And work building sites and stuff like that. But I was asked to record the songs to be put on the documentary and stuff like that. And
so were you singing the chants from the past as well?
Yeah, from the past and some of the ones that I'd sort of, you know, had a hand in playing. Had a hand in making.
This is folk music, isn't it?
It is. And actually, the Liverpool album that we released with We Get By, that actually got in the top 10 of the inaugural folk chart as well. Well, you know, football's a working class sport, and folk is music of working class people, isn't it? So it's no wonder that they tie in somewhere along the line, you know what I mean? And yeah, I'm just lucky that was my way in, do you know what I mean? I was in the right place at the right time.
So what was it like to go out there on the Champions League final and play to 60,000?
Oh, frightening. Frightening. Do you know, the nerves were like, you know, I was shaking before I went on. I was crying when I got off the stage. It was just a roller coaster of emotions, really. But obviously, because I've got a lot of, just as much passion for Liverpool Football Club as I do music and the history of this city, it was just a case of go out and be yourself, do you know what I mean? Go out and do what you've done for a
do what people know you for, do you know what I mean? And what people love you for. And I just went out there with my heart on my sleeve and just give it to them. And thankfully, you know, the rest is history.
They gave it back.
They gave it back, yeah, which is the most
and,
important
and then
thing.
The team won.
And we won the European Cup, which was obviously I'd done the same thing in Kiev the year before to about 10,000 people, but because we never won the trophy, the sort of fan park at the start wasn't spoke about as much because no one wants to remember a day where you lost the cup final, do they?
And then you've had an extraordinary experience too of Jurgen Klopp turning up, the manager turning up to one of your sessions, didn't you, in the States?
Yeah, that was the summer before. So right, that was the summer after Kiev. And he turned up and surprised me in a bar.
So you weren't expecting him to come?
No. Either I was or it was good acting, you know what I mean? But but no, I wasn't expecting him.
So were you playing?
I was mid-song, yeah.
Door.
And he just come in and started pointing at me and, you know, gritting his teeth. And I got a hug off him and he was just a dead nice fella. But the year later, I actually went out for a pint with him in New York. No camera sort of thing, and I've got photos of it somewhere, and yeah, we had a lovely night.
That's a moment.
Yeah, we had a lovely night, and we were drinking till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And,
do you sometimes pinch yourself?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Think about yourself being, you know.
Yeah,
like
he's the only person I get starstruck with, though. I really, honestly, like, you know, Bob Dylan could walk in here, and I'd be really happy to see him, but I wouldn't be nervous or starstruck. I think I'd know what I wanted to say to him. You know what I mean? Likewise with Paul McCartney, but something about Jurgen Klopp. Don't know what it is. He never fails to make you feel like a little child.
Have you met Paul McCartney?
No.
Would you like to?
I would love to meet Paul McCartney. I mean, he's technically the best that ever has been in music. I think vocally, songwriting, playing, you know, like you can't really beat them. They were quite good, the Beatles, weren't they?
I think they did.
They were quite good. They had a couple of good songs.
There's a statue of them you might take us to, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, let's go downstairs and finish off here, but then I'd like to go on to the statue, if that's
all
right.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
So we've come into a room now, which is effectively a shop, isn't it? I mean, it's stocked like a supermarket, food, toys, on lots of shelves all around us. What goes on in here?
This is a food union where people pay between, you know, a couple of pounds and a fiver a week, and they receive back about £25 worth of shopping. You know, people who are, you know, living below the breadline in the area, and you just genuinely can't afford to go out and get, you know, the weekly shop for who you need to support. So as you can see, the stuff ranges from here, from, like, you know, cup drinks to tins of spaghetti bolognese and tins of
rice, pasta,
crisps, coffees, teas, obviously milk, and then just even, like, you know, you look at these toys and deodorants and magic gloves and stuff like that. And this, when Timo first brought me down here, I must admit, I welled up a lot, you know, because you don't realise that this sort of, just things just like this that, like, I've took for granted all my life, you know, juice in the cupboard, do you know what I mean? Like, it's stuff that you take for granted, you're expected to be there, and, you know, the fact that people in our own city, in my own city, have to come to places like this in order to get things that are just so basic in your day-to-day life.
Or a toy for a child. You can feel the smile on a child's face when it gets one of these.
Exactly.
Bobby,
you know,
dolls or
magic gloves. Do you know what I mean? Kids, you know, to keep kids' hands warm. Do you know what I mean? They're like 50 pence, yeah, and people can't afford them. And it's just, it's sad. It really is sad that we live somewhere that where governments can let this slide. Really, do you know what I mean? It sickens me. Mm. There's that much profit made in so many areas of industry, business, entertainment. Why are normal people having to come here to get, you know, some deodorants or some gloves or, you know, a pair of trainers? It's just, it's wrong on so many levels, and it shouldn't take people like me or people like Timo or people like anyone in the Florry to bang a drum and raise and shout and scream about it and have people record us and just to try and get a bit more awareness out there. It shouldn't even be a thing. We should be looked after. This is 2022 now, do you know what I mean?
there's no reason for anywhere in the world to be in poverty, in a crisis like this, let alone in the north of England. You know, we're one of the most powerful countries in the world. We still are. We always will be. So why can't the people of this country just be fed?
Jamie, the passion with which you talk about it is so compelling, but does it come out in the music? Do you find that one of the ways of letting out the frustration and the, you know, the anger that you feel about it is to write about it?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, and a lot of other people would do as well, because all my albums highlight stuff like this. Mm. Both of my albums, and you've both finished in the top 10, so it goes to show that it's not just me.
It strikes a chord.
Yeah,
you know, if you'll excuse the expression, but I mean, it strikes a chord, and you can probably tell that when you're playing to the audience
Well, when I'm singing songs like Something's Gotta Give and, you know, Sick and Tired of the Crooked Tories, there are people in that crowd, the foam coming out of their mouth, they feel that strongly about it, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen people in tears in the gigs before singing, you know, the connection that we have through writing about things like this.
How can you tell me this is where it's at, when all the clowns are calling the shots? How can you tell me this is the dream, when all the dreamers are left out to rot? Line in of pockets and no care for how we live. Things can't stay the same, something's gotta give. There's crisis with the end of the table and we can't seem to solve them. Is it for welfare of all, or is it just for personal gain? And all the pieces of chess in the middle bear the weight of the problem. Divided opinions on who should go and who should remain. And then across the pond the king is a freak, and he's loaded with silver. Stood on an empire of gold, performing his own puppet show. While his mouths take back for the promises he's failed to deliver, the ones who oppose him stand bewildered and nowhere to go. How can you tell me that this is where it's at, when all the clowns are calling the shots? How can you tell me that this is the dream, when all the dreamers are left out to rot? Light in the pockets, no care for how we live. Things can't stay the same, something's gotta give. Sick and tired of the bad news stories, sick and tired of the crooked Tories. Is there anyone out there with half a jar? For the many that have raised the issues, been disposed of like scattered tissues, don't you think maybe this time it's gone too far? How can you tell me that this is where it's at, when all the clowns are calling the shots? How can you tell me that this is a dream, when all the dreamers are left out to rot? Line in our pockets, but no care for how we live. Things can't stay the same, something's gotta give.
We've come now to, this is Liverpool Tourist Central, I would imagine, here is it?
Yeah. So obviously everyone comes here to see, basically, they come to see the boats that come in, they come to see the live buildings, they come to see the museum, and they also come to mainly to see the Beatles statue. And
to hear this man singing Beatles songs.
Hear someone singing Beatles songs, yeah, this fella's here all the time, and he has his tambourines on his feet to do his percussion and stuff like that. Yeah.
And this is the ferry terminal. Is it?
The ferry terminal's just down here, This is, I think this is where you get your tickets for it, and above it's a lovely Chinese restaurant, it's actually called Matu.
And I can see the Live a Bird up there on the
Live
a Building.
Yeah, the Live
a
Building's there.
See, Jamie, that the clock on the Live a Building is saying 3:15 or 2:45, yeah, depending on which clock you look at.
The clock on the right had a bit more to drink, hasn't it?
It's been broken for a long time. So, Jamie, tell us about the statue. We're standing right in front of the Fab Four now.
The first statue in Europe to not be on a plinth, so you can see.
They're just standing on the floor?
They're screwed into the floor there by the feet. It's the first statue in Europe to ever be done like that. It's a size and a half of the actual size of the Beatles.
So this is
1.5 times bigger than the actual Beatles. It's laid out as they stood on stage, obviously. This is a camera in Paul's hand to signify Linda McCartney. John Lennon, which you can't see unless you look closely in his hand. He's got an acorn in his hand, which is to signify Central Park, where he lived and died. If you come round the back, on George's belt in Hindu here, it's got Hare Krishna written along his back. This means basically Hare Krishna and love and peace to all men. And right, if we get low down here...
Going to get on the floor now?
You get on the floor.
Yeah.
Where's Ringo's foot? There it is, just under here in Ringo's foot.
Yeah.
It's got L8 written on it.
Liverpool 8.
Liverpool 8, which is the postcode in which he came from. You might be able to see it. It's just there underneath his foot.
I'm glad we brought you with us. Yeah. I've never spotted these things.
Yeah, and so that's a little bit about it. Yeah.
And people come from all over the world to see this, but they probably don't notice those things, do they, Jamie?
No, I only found out off me mate, but it's true.
I gather there's another little memento of you somewhere in the city.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, last week I was given a brick.
A brick?
A brick on the wall of the original Cavern Club.
So, wow.
Yeah, so there's some pretty big names on the wall, and, you know, because I played in the Cavern last week, two sold-out gigs in a day. Quite reminiscent of the Beatles doing a matinee show and then an evening show as well, do you know what I mean? Back how they used to do it. But
still sweaty.
Very, very, very sweaty, yeah. So we'll just head up there in a second.
Oh, I'd love to see that. That's like being on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, isn't it? So where are we now, Jamie?
So we're on North John Street and we're about to turn onto Matthew Street, which is the home of the iconic Cavern Club.
There's more musical statues up there.
Yeah, well, this is the Hard Day's Night Hotel here. Got the Lonely Hearts Club Band Gallery in here, which is like a little souvenir shop, just the next one. This is the old Matthew Street.
And this is the Cavern?
Yeah, this is it's known as the Wall of Fame.
And here are the bricks with the names on.
Yeah, there's all sorts of people here. Peter Green, the Harlems.
Wilson Pickett up here, the Who.
The Faces. These are all people who've played the Cavern Club and
Wishbone Ash,
done something.
Status Quo.
Yeah, the Kinks, Queen, Ringo, Paul, the Beatles, John.
The Rolling Stones. Well, look, there's a brand new one here with Jamie Webster.
Yeah, so obviously this was given to me like a week ago today. It was given to me.
Congratulations that you played here and you're right next to Martha Reeves.
Yeah.
Martha Reeves of the Vandellas.
Yeah, so. I'm in really good company.
Rick of the Delmonts.
Yeah, just a nice place to end it early. But obviously, I feel really lucky. Yeah.
Well, Jamie, thank you for showing us Liverpool. And thank you very much for playing your songs and showing us the Florrie in particular. Yeah. Made a big impact on me.
I'm glad it did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to get a few photos. I'm just going to army of them.
Jamie's now going to have his picture taken. With a bunch of fans outside the Cavern here. Does that happen a lot, Jamie?
Yeah, yeah.
Can't go anywhere in Liverpool without everyone stopping to have a picture.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Thanks very much.
On the vinyls, definitely
one. Yes, lads.
Jamie Webster showing us the Liverpool he loves. And if you want to see films of the songs that Jamie has sung on this podcast, all you have to do is become a patron of Folk on Foot, It'll cost you £10 a month, but every penny you give will go back into making more episodes of the podcast. And you'll get access to our amazing archive, Folk on Foot on Film, of more than 150 songs filmed on location on our travels around the UK. So if you want to sign up, just go to folkonfoot.com and click on the Support Us button. We rely entirely on your support to keep this podcast going, so we'd be really pleased if you'd join us. We love making the podcast, we hope you love listening to it, and with your support, we'd like to go on making it forever.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.